Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, world, and we are back. Thank you so much for joining us on At Home with Victoria, International Connection Media. I am your host, Victoria Gaither, and sitting in studio right now in Foxton Beach, New Zealand, is the one and only Stu Frith. Stu, it's great to be back on air with you. It's been at least, almost 2 months since we've done a show?
That's correct, and hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Fantastic to be with you this morning, Vicky. Hey, we're out of lockdown. How good is that?
Yay, congratulations, and also, not only congratulations on being out of lockdown, New Zealanders did very well. Your numbers are still low. You know, you've got a number here or there, so clearly, you know, New Zealanders are taking the coronavirus seriously. They're looking after themselves and doing what they need to do to beat the virus. So well done, well done.
Yes, it is. They have done well, and but it's amazing, you know. It's amazing how people soon get lax on it. I was in the coffee bar yesterday in a cafe with my mate Brian Jackson, and there was about a dozen women walked in there, one after the other, you know, from different groups, and not one of them registered that they were there. Not one of them got their phone out and took a registration copy of the app or anything, or signed on the bench. They just walked in and got what they wanted and walked out again. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that was about a dozen women like that in about a quarter of an hour. Yeah. Terrible.
And that is interesting, because of course there are some places here in America, or should I say states, where people are using the app. But, you know, in a country like New Zealand, 5 million and growing, I think the statistics are going to probably push close to 6 million with Kiwis coming home and the latest headcount. But, it's so easy to control it if everybody were to go on that app and do what they do, because then that way, if you do find a cluster amongst a group, you can easily spot it, easily detect it, and go back and figure out how it happened. So the information, it's so valuable, isn't it?
It is valuable. But I must say that while we're talking about this app, it is not an easy app to download. My phone will not download. Now, you know that my phone is a fairly new phone. It won't download it. I was talking to my mate yesterday, Brian, and he was telling me that in his family, there's three or four of them that cannot download the app on new phones. It's absolutely crazy, you know?
Oh, clearly there's a glitch in the system. But, yeah, if you can't download the app, it's not going to do any good.
That's dead right. You know, I tried to get it downloaded on the weekend, and couldn't do it. So I had to absolutely delete the whole procedure, and it just does not work, you know. So, there is those glitches. But anyway, that's the way it is, and we can only hope like hell that we stay on top of it, you know, and sort of be as determined with this virus as what the virus is determined with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wish I had better news for you here. In America, with us Americans, I think, you know, we're still at the same point. Some Americans take it seriously and believe that, you know, it is that and then some. And then you have other Americans who are saying, listen, this isn't a big deal. It's just the flu, you know, that that the government and the media are making a big deal out of nothing. But still in saying that, the area where I live and the places that I go, everybody wears their mask. People are doing what they're supposed to do. So I think, you know, there again, it just goes back to the city, the county, your local governments, and also the state governors as well. But in this area, we're very fortunate in the Washington, Virginia, Maryland area that people really do follow the CDC guidelines. But in saying that, doctors and all of the people that are following this and the scientists are saying that this is going to be a deadly winter here in America. Of course, tomorrow is daylight savings time for us, so we go back. And we've had relatively warm weather, but, you know, we know what's coming ahead, and it's cold because, you know, winter is our next season over. But they're saying that, you know, they're telling people, don't go to Thanksgiving dinner with your family. You know, kids shouldn't be out there trick-or-treating. Forget about Christmas. You know, you can do things in your own little bubble, but anything outside of that, they're saying don't do it because the risk is so high. But I think they're expecting that, you know, we may lose something like 20,000 people because of the coronavirus in America and people just not taking it seriously. So it's scary. You know, I'm on the side of safety, so I do every single thing that I supposed to do. But Stu, you're right. Even for me, sometimes you get lax with it. Sometimes I forget to put the hand sanitizer on when I come back inside my car. So you have to be vigilant and thinking about it all the time.
Yeah, you do. You do. And I know what you mean about being a little bit lax on. I get lax on it too, you know, and think to myself, gosh, I haven't washed my hands for about 4 hours. I better go wash them, you know. So
right.
you haven't got it, you know. And, of course, when you come from country living life, you're not used to washing your hands every half hour. You know, it's amazing the work we used to do with dirty hands. And goodness gracious me, you even turn and sit down and get up on the farm and sit down and eat your lunch and your hands would be dirty.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people would curl up in their graves and die if they knew how grubby our hands used to be. It's terrible.
Well, it's like you said, that was farm life, or that is farm life. So, yeah, that would be interesting if they ever did a study, you know, to see how the farming community around the world dealt with it and if they were, you know, sort of any better off. Because I think, you know, you guys on those farms and dealing with animals, you're always exposed to way more things probably than city people.
Yeah, dead right. And, we never used to get sick with it because we were immune. You know, we'd never got bugs or anything like that because we were handling something that was disgusting, you know, because our bodies were immune to it. You know, today, the young ones, they aren't immune. Town people aren't immune. They're so clean and precise. The germs just think, hey, this is the haven. Let's get into it.
Well, I think as you call them, town people, city people, I think those people are a little bit bubble wrapped, and I think parents probably bubble wrap their kids a hell of a lot more, I think, than what they did back during your time and even during my time as well. Something I am interested in, and this is going to change subjects just a little bit, they're in Foxton Beach. You guys just had the Spring Fling. Now, if you know anything about that area, you know that the Spring Fling, it is a big deal, and it's very much that. It's a Spring Fling. It's celebrating that, you know, spring is here. People are outdoors. So tell me, how did that go? Did people have to wear masks? Were there a lot of people there? What was your experience at Spring Fling?
Well, I can honestly say I never saw anybody with a mask on. Never saw anybody with a mask on at all. But, it's not mandatory. So that's something. There was a huge crowd, almost as though, hey, the North Island has come out of lockdown. Let's go out for the day. But that's just what it was like. There was cars for miles. And if you weren't there early, we got there early with my mate from Hawke's Bay and his wife. We got there early and we got a pack, you know, very close. We were lucky, very, very lucky. But when we came out, the cars were unreal. The stalls, they were light on stalls. I talked to one stall owner and they said to me that this is the first big do they've had since the lockdowns happened in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a few people minus. But the ones that were minus was amazing because most of them were the local stall holders.
Yeah. Okay.
The ones that came from a long distance, they were there. People from Wellington and all that sort of stuff, they were there in full force. But the local ones, very slack indeed. So,
Well, you wonder if that also had to do with that, you know, not having enough inventory, or, you know, if any of that had to do with COVID. But at the end of the day, it seems like the stall owners who were there, the local cabs, restaurants, and shops would have done pretty well, because you said you did have a big crowd. So it would have put a little bit of money into the local economy, right?
It's amazing. You know, it's amazing the amount of money that gets spent on food. People go there and they eat and eat and eat. And when you go down, the whole street was sort of cut in half. The top half was clothing and jewelry and all that sort of junky stuff. The bottom one was food of the street. The bottom half was food. And you get down there, and everywhere you look, there was people eating, walking up the street, you know, and this is amongst a huge crowd. There was people eating, absolutely just filling themselves, you know. And the obesity was right there too. It was marching the streets as well. Well, should I say wobbling the streets?
right. And I think you know, for me, and I'm sure other people, that's one of the reasons why you love a good fair, because you're going to get to taste all different types of food. You know, it may not be the type of food that you normally are going to eat day to day. So whether it's Mexican, Korean, Thai, you know, pizza, you know, a baked potato, you sort of get a chance to eat all this amazing food. Now, we didn't have a spring fling, of course, because we're on the total opposite weather-wise, but I was involved home here with a Zumbathon. And I'm sure if the ladies are listening and men, you know what the Zumba is. So every October, this happens also in New Zealand, it happens around the world. People that do Zumba raise money for breast cancer. So I was very happy to participate in that. We had two a few weeks ago, and the final one is actually this Sunday at 10 o'clock. So by the time I think we're done with these three, and this is just a local group of women and supporters and communities coming together for this, we probably would raise over $1,000, which, you know, it may not sound like a lot, but, you know, a lot of this money will go to people, women that, you know, may need somebody to drive them to treatment, or, you know, they may need a few bits and pieces from the grocery store. So it's sort of filling the void of all those little things that don't necessarily cost a lot, but they're big and they actually mean something. So I was very happy to participate in that. And Stu, so many local business owners came together to support us. So no matter, you know, what shop or whoever I went to, as soon as I said, you know, why I needed it, they just pulled out a gift certificate, and some actually gave 10, you know, $10 gift certificates to the Southside Deli. So it's wonderful, even during a time when we're dealing with the coronavirus, that things like breast cancer, you know, at least at a community level, is not getting pushed aside, and people are still doing it. Now, normally I would be there in New Zealand helping out with breast cancer or doing a story or something like that. So this is the first time I've been back home in the States where I've done it. So always good to, you know, help out locally at home here, but it's also good the times when I've had a chance to, you know, help out the local Foxton and Foxton Beach and Palmerston North community back home in New Zealand. So again, thank you, ladies, if you're listening, and, you know, we've got one more day to rock it and raise some money this Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that, Stu.
Yeah, well, everybody's got to take it on board, don't they? They've got to look after the ladies, you know, with this breast cancer. It's not a nice thing, and you don't have to be a lady to support it. Anybody can come in and support it, and we highly recommend that other people, males and teenagers and all that, give a little. And if everybody gave a little, it would make the less painful for those the ones that are suffering, I feel.
Yeah, I thought I couldn't have said it any better. So yeah, thank you so much for what you said, because that is all certainly true. If you're just joining us, you're listening to At Home with Victoria International Connection Media. I am your host, Victoria Gaither, along with Stu Frith, who is sitting at Foxton Beach, New Zealand, in the studio, and he joins us live, as he always does, when we have our show. We've been off the air for a couple of months, a lot of things going on, but we're back, and hopefully we'll be able to, if not bring you weekly shows, then, you know, every 2 weeks to bring you a show, just to catch up on what's happening around the world, because we cover things all over the world. Today we're mainly focusing, of course, on New Zealand and America, because there's so many things that we have to catch up on when it comes to that. So, Stu, we haven't had this conversation. Jacinda Ardern is still the Prime Minister of New Zealand. You guys had elections a couple of weeks ago. And from what I read, not only did the Labour Party, you know, win big, but they actually made history. You have more Labour on board now than ever before, I think, than like the 1940s or something. So that's pretty big there.
It is huge. It is a big thing, and Jacinda's done a fantastic – well, not only Jacinda. The whole Labour Party has done a fantastic job, and all the people who got out there and went on the streets and pounded the footpaths to get the votes, they did a fantastic job of doing it. But, of course, there's a big team behind them as well, who is the support team. Now, those people don't really get recognised very much as a support team and the amount of work they do to help the Labour or to help any party. And yeah. They did an awesome job. They really did. Labour romped in and made National look sick. National lost a lot of people out of Parliament, something like 13, I think roughly 13 people had been taken out of National Party. So there's a big hole there. Labour is doing a big talk with the Greens at the moment. Now, this I can't understand, because I think Labour got a lot of votes because the Green Party were coming up with some pretty crazy ideas at times. And I think a lot of people who were sort of might have voted Green have gone away from Greens, so they dumped their votes to Labour. Now, Labour is turning around and talking to the Greens and saying, would you be interested in coming in with us? You know, we don't need you. We can govern the country without you. But the Green Party have got some good things about them and caring for the environment. And perhaps the Labour feel that, yeah, well, maybe we do need these guys with us just to help us look after the country. So who knows? Wait and see. We'll know more next week.
Yeah, but, you know, it's that whole thing that's going on now with Labour and also the Greens, that is politics, some will say, at its best, and some will say that is politics at its worst, because, you know, the Greens did very much support Labour, and then to sort of turn around and kind of crap on you and do what they're doing, you know, people have good memories. So, you know, there could come a time when they're needed again. So, yeah, I was quite surprised, because that sort of tactic to me is such, you know, a European or sort of American tactic that we would use here and have no problems doing it at all. So I was quite surprised, you know, to read about that and hear about, you know, what Labour has done when it comes to that. But, yeah, like you said, shall see. I also wanted to mention, you were right about, you know, Labour, and congratulations to them as a group, because there are people behind the scenes at any organization. You have to put a plan together, right? Because if you don't put a plan together, then everything is sort of tossed up into the air. And clearly they had an effective plan, and boy, did it work. So you're right, you know, not only congratulations to Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, but really, you know, she is as only as good as all those people behind her.
That's right. That's so true. And, you know, the National Party, Judith Collins, who was the new leader of the National Party, she went out there and she downcried Labour Party all the time, absolutely all the time, to the fact that it was quite nasty at times, you know. And it came back and bit. Her comments came back and bit her, and they bit her real hard. And that's why, you know, a lot of people said, no, to hell with Judith Collins. She was known as a crusher because she used to crush cars. So people pulled their votes away from her. You know?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's the biggest shock the National Party has ever had. It really is, you know, and it's been good. It's been good. it's good for the National Party, but it's been fantastic for the Labor Party.
Well, you know, and National has held that seat for quite some time. So, you know, it's always good to have a shakeup. And I always say that eventually, if you wait long enough, whatever your party is or whoever you support, it turns back around. It just, you know, I mean, yep. If there's anything that history shows us, I think it is. So whenever your party is in, I just think you better relish it because, you know, eventually, you know, people tire of that party and then they want the next one. Of course, you know, you guys watch and follow American elections here. Tuesday is the big day for us. So that's about 6 days away before our elections. I've already voted, so I was one of the millions and millions of Americans who voted by mail. That was an option to me where I'm located, and I jumped on it, so I did early voting. And it was very easy. I had to fill out a piece of paper. I sent it into the election commission. They sent me my ballot back with very specific, easy instructions to follow. You tick off who you want. You place it in a secure envelope. You've got three places that you can take it. You can drop it in the United States Postal Service. You can take it down to their office, or they have these special voter mailboxes, so to speak. You can drop it in one of those boxes. I took my chance with the United States Postal Service. I, you know, thought that they haven't failed me now, and they did not. So once I put it in there, I would say within 4 days I got an email from the elections office, specifically saying my name and my address, that we received it, and it has been counted. So my vote has already been counted through mail. So I was really happy with that, and it was an easy process. Now, my other family members didn't do it the way that I did. They actually went to the polls. Meaning they went to one of the local schools. There are different places around America, you know, where you go and vote. And it took them from start to finish 40 minutes, which is nothing. That's, you know, walking in the line, going through the process, go stamp it, do what you've got to do, and leave. Now, in some states, though, Stu, I don't know if you've seen the video there in New Zealand on the news, but some states, I mean, these lines, people have been waiting in lines 4, 5, 6, 7 hours to vote. So a lot of these communities never expected that people, when early voting opened, that these people were going to take advantage of it. Now, the good thing about that is that so far 70 million Americans have already voted. And I think that they're estimating that that's up like something 50 to 40% from the last time we voted. Now, who these people are voting for, you can only guess. You know, either they're voting for Trump or either they're voting for Biden. But Biden certainly seems to be doing better in states that Hillary lost the last time around. And, you know, some of it is by a margin of 5 or 6, 7%. But, you know, if you're thinking of 5 or 6, 7%, and let's say you've got a state – you know, that has 15 million people, 5 or 6, 7%. That's a lot of people, isn't it? You know, it may not sound like it. Yeah, but that is a lot of people. And of course, President Trump is still on the campaign trail. He has these rallies. No one's wearing a mask because, of course, a lot of the people that support the president, they don't believe in coronavirus. And you know, which still blows my mind because he ended up getting it, the first lady. You know, I think it was something like 12 or 15 people within his cabinet and his administration. But, you know, he's still out there on the campaign trail. Joe Biden, on the other hand, wears a mask wherever he goes. Trump laughs at him. Yeah. Stu, I'm going to have to get some water. Can you talk for me?
Yeah, I can. I can talk for you. It's not a problem. I'm not surprised you have to get some water. The thing I'll just mention this while Vicky's getting a drink of water is that it's amazing how things happen in New Zealand. Our netball team, the ladies' netball team, the Silver Ferns to be exact, of course, when you're in lockdown, it's hard to get out and have practice games or have competition against other countries, you know. But our girls have been playing against the men's netball team for practice and a builder, and man, is that paid off. The other night, the Silver Ferns beat the men, and which was amazing. The men are pretty good, you know, and they're tall guys. And now they just finished last night. They played the Roses from mm-hmm. England, and they cleaned them up with a good score too. So it just goes to show you, you know, that although you might be in lockdown, you can get around it in another way with your sport. So that was fantastic, you know, and the Silver Ferns, very proud of it. Congratulations, girls. You did a great job.
Yeah, congratulations.
Now, how are you doing?
I swallowed something, excuse me, the wrong way, so you guys will have to bear with me. My voice will come right. But I wanted to mention a story about coconut milk. So if you drink coconut milk in America, you're not going to be able to get coconut milk because it's basically made in Taiwan. So they're using these monkeys to go and gather the coconuts, which is illegal to do. So now American manufacturers are saying, listen, we're not going to, we're not going to sell this coconut milk just as a result of what they're doing to these monkeys. So they're basically sort of enslaving these monkeys to go out and pick up these coconuts. And I just felt that to be unbelievable.
I can't see what's wrong with letting the monkeys go and pick them up. You know, it's an animal just being domesticated to do a job. It's no different than a dog chasing sheep around a paddock for a farmer, is it? You know,
well, I think what the difference is that they're not feeding them. They're not, you know, although other animals are being taken care of, they're basically working these monkeys to pure exhaustion. They're not giving them any water. They're not feeding them. They're not letting them rest. So they're literally kind of working these monkeys to death, I think, is what the problem is.
Right. Okay. Yeah, now I understand. Yes, well, that is terrible. So I hope they do manage to get some control over that, because that's not a nice exercise, is it? It's a shocking exercise. So let's hope we get difference out of that. You know? Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. So. And you know, the thing is that story struck me because I actually drink coconut milk sometimes. You know, just the thought now that the stores here aren't going to stock it unless something changes, I just thought, you know, that's like something immediate happening all the way over in Taiwan, and it's affecting me going to the store and not being able to buy it as a result of that. So speaking of buying, I think my voice is getting back to normal here. I actually swallowed some water the wrong way, and you guys, if you've experienced that, you know what I just went through, but I'm not sick or anything. I'm feeling fine. So I saw a story on stuff.co.nz, and this story is about a drinking machine. So this is just a basic drinking machine where you make sort of a fizzy drink. So the machine at the warehouse was $49, Stu. The same machine at Farmers was $180. No difference in the machine. No difference in the machine. Huh. The only difference is the name that they put on it. So this machine does exactly the same thing, is exactly the same color, manufactured in the exact same place, and one will get the name Frith on it, the other one will get the name Gaither on it, and yours is going to be $180 at Farmers, and mine is going to be $49 at the warehouse. I just thought that, you know, you wonder how that happens. You know, I think I understand how it happens, but you hear these stories all the time about these huge price differences.
That is amazing, but there's a couple of things I'd like to comment on that. First of all, mm-hmm. it proves because mine, under the name of Frith, is the dearer job, it's the dearer machine, it shows one thing, that I'm not a cheap escape. Yeah, I'm not a cheapskate.
True.
So, now, the other thing is, we had the government come out and they hopped in and helped businesses that were struggling with the coronavirus, and they put up some big money for these people to pull through. The warehouse took this money on board, and mm-hmm. it was megabucks they took on board from the government. They gave their general manager a $1 million rise in in rent, and not in rent, in wages.
Wages.
And they let half, their staff go. And they have not paid any money back to the government. So that's disgusting from the warehouse. Now, I'll tell you what, this has really got up everybody's nose in the in New Zealand about the warehouse. Briscoe's, on the other hand, a big outfit in New Zealand, and just as big as the warehouse. They had the money come in. They never used it. They paid it back to the government. They have not laid anybody off, and they're doing extremely well. That's amazing, you know?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, talk about corporate greed at its worst.
It did right. You know, $1 million and wage rise, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I think this is really going to kick the warehouse around big time. It's just so stupid, you know. So that's very sad. Now, while we're talking about people and money and businesses and everything, as you know, of course, and it was you that put me onto it, and that is the Humble Pie, a new business in Foxton. And these two ladies, well, the one girl, Christina, the daughter, came up from Wellington, and she is a pastry chef.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes jolly good pastry, and they opened this building, which was sitting dormant, doing nothing. They got into it, cleaned it all up, repainted the thing, freshened the whole business up. And now, a business right from the word go is making good money. And Debbie was telling me the other day, they have got no money owing on anything. They own everything they've got
fantastic.
There, all the coffee machines, ovens and everything. They own it all. And when they first started, the first week, they made 30 pies in the week. From the past and for the passing public. Now, this was a few weeks ago that she told me about this. They'll be doing more. They are doing over 30 pies of every variety per day. So that is horrific.
Wow! Congratulations! And yeah,
also,
but it's not surprising because you said the food is delicious.
The food is fantastic, absolutely awesome, and they also do make keto meals and deliver them. So this is some people that have come out from, you know, in the background of this virus and made a real boomer out of being hard working and putting your soul into it.
Yeah. It is interesting how some people can take something, even, you know, when the world is facing something at our worst, that, you know, that this century has not seen, and they can actually use that and still come out on that. As we're speaking of businesses, I'm glad that you brought that up, and congratulations, Debbie, and to everybody there, you know, who has anything to do with Humble Pie. I still can't wait to get back and taste some of the food there. But I saw an article on stuff.co.nz, and it said that Kiwis are paying too much for insurance, for policies and car insurance and home insurance, and not because of the price tag, but because they're not looking at their insurance every single year and readjusting and changing, because things in your life change. So, you know, you may have had some type of renter's insurance, but then you don't need that insurance anymore, but you're still paying for it. So they had talked about how New Zealanders could save something like, you know, $23 million if every year everyone would just go over their insurance, call the insurance company, and just have a talk about, you know, your life and change some things. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's happening in a lot of different things now too. And, of course, with the interest on money these days here in New Zealand, you're not getting paid much money, much interest on your money. You know, it's very, very low. I heard of one yesterday, and it was 0.9%, 0.9. So that's unbelievable, isn't it? You know, and you've got to be on the game. So, you know, if you're paying too much for your insurance, well, it's coming out of your pocket, isn't it? You know, so you've got
sure
to be
is.
Up there
yeah.
with it and make sure you have it right. Now, talking about that, also, you know, of course, Young Ebony that comes here and does work for me, they had a modular home built, and that was delivered. It was delivered to the wrong place. It came from Auckland or somewhere like that. It was delivered to the wrong place. It was dragged off, and it was damaged. And they got hold of the guy that delivered it, and said that you've delivered it to the wrong place. No, no, I delivered it where it was meant to go. But no, nah, anyway, to cut a long story short, the jugger turned his telephone off. And this place was badly damaged. All the plumbing was wrecked underneath it, and the walls were damaged. The lino inside was all damaged. And, it, you know, it's just unbelievable. And to think that people try and put this out to this modular home, which was going to be their little home for a little while, some time, while they managed to save money to build a larger home on the property that they've got, you know? It's so sad, and to think these young people, they're getting ripped by these businesses.
Yeah.
You know? So I hope that they, I think they will. I think they'll take it to fair go and really do some damage to this outfit up in Auckland to deliver this place. It's disgusting, you know?
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, the other thing I've got to say this about that story is that clearly they even knew that they were wrong because they turned the phone off or changed the number so that they can't contact them. So who does that? I mean, if you're above board and you haven't done anything wrong, why would you do that?
That's dead right. That's dead right. That's disgusting, you know. So we wish them all the best, you know. I'll be talking to Ebony today, of course, when she comes to yeah, we'll see how they're going with it. But, yeah, there's lots of things happening here in New Zealand at the moment. There really is, you know. It's it's amazing. With the virus and
well,
shut down, and then we're coming.
I'm sorry, Stu. We only have a few seconds because we're basically out of time. But I know it sounds like that you could go on and go on. So maybe we can save what you're going to say for next week. Do you think you can write it down and we can remember it for next week?
I will try and remember it. All right.
I know. I'm going to say something last, and then Stu, you get the last word. But I just wanted to give a shout out to my CrossFit community and family. We did had a big class this morning, and because I haven't been to CrossFit in a few weeks, I'm going to tell the truth. We had to run 600 meters, and I cut 100 meters off of that by running through the woods and cutting it off because I was so exhausted I couldn't make it. So I just wanted to confess and throw that out there today because I've been feeling horrible about it all day long. So while you guys thought I did the whole 600 meters, the first two I did, but I tell you what, that last one, I was exhausted. I saw this footpath through the woods too, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to run through that footpath, and I did. So that's my confession today. So you get the last words, Stu.
Well, I get the last word. My word is a funny one for you, and I did say you will laugh. excuse me. I was doing the dishes the other night, and I got a fit of the sneezes and then the coughs after it. Of course, as you know, I wear dentures, and I lost my dentures. My dentures came out with a major lot of coughing. And when I went to find my dentures, and I couldn't find them. And anyway, I hunted high and low, and there's no sign of my dentures. And I got to a stage where I started to look around the floor, and if they come down to the tile floor, they're going to be cracked or something like that. But I was pretty worried. Anyway, I couldn't find them, and I thought, oh, well, after I finished doing the dishes, I have to have a good search. So I carried on doing the dishes, emptied the water out of the sink, and hello, here's me dentures laying in the bottom of the sink. So I was very relieved.
And they were they clean or were they a bit dirty?
well, they were pretty soap suddy, you know.
And on that note,
that's
we are.
That's my final word.
And on that note, we are going to say goodbye. I think you're Trump me cheating and cutting through the park to get out of my run this morning. So, guys, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm Victoria. Stu Frith is on the other end. Sorry about my coughing attack that I had there, but, you know, I'm sure if it's ever happened to you, you get it. It just happens to me when I happen to be on live radio. We look forward to talking to you next week, and we're going to make sure that happens because by this time next week, we should know, I think, who the next president of the United States is. So on that note, guys, have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.